It is good to confide in the Lord rather than to have confidence in man. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, children, we have two Bible stories about rising from the dead. And the second at the Gospel is a very long story indeed, from St. John. In the epistle, it's Elias, the prophet of Mount Carmel. Remember, we met him at the beginning of Lent. He is the Old Testament prophet who, like Moses, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Well, we're thinking of resurrection because we're only 2 weeks now from Good Friday, when our Lord redeems us by his death on the cross, and he'll be buried on Good Friday. But just in 3 days, as he predicted, as he prophesied, he'll rise from the dead. Now, everybody, I was thinking about this morning, everybody in today's stories, in the epistle and the gospel, has confidence in God. They trust our Lord. It's a sad thing, you know, sometimes even people who are fairly pious and they do say their prayers and they want to get things from God don't really trust him because they want to sort of manage everything themselves. But we should trust our Lord. In fact, the choir sings that today after the epistle in the gradual verse. We should trust our Lord. Even if we get upset and we don't understand what God is doing, and we need to complain a little bit to him, we should always trust our Lord. Everybody in the epistle and gospel today says exactly what he's thinking. And because they do, and because they do really love our Lord, everything works out well God's way in the end, because our Lord always helps us. But he especially helps those who have confidence in him, who trust him. So we start with another little bit of a story. Our saint today, our stational saint in spirit, we go to his church in Rome, remember, is a priest whom we honor on the Vigil of the Assumption, August 14th each year, and his name is Saint Eusebius. And he lived at a time when everybody was kind of making compromises with heresy, saying that, well, our Lord wasn't really God. And this priest said, no. He even told the emperor and the high dignitaries of the church in Rome, no, our Lord is God of God. His person is an eternal person from all eternity, a member of the most blessed Trinity, one in three. Well, he trusted our Lord enough to tell the truth, and because of that, he was punished, and he was sent to his room, and they locked him in his room, and he was meant to starve to death, except our Lord took care of him for a while. I think he lasted about 7 months. He probably had crackers and other things like that in his room. So he lasted a long time, but finally he died as a confessor of the faith and suffered very much for it. Now, in the epistle, as I say, we have the prophet of Mount Carmel, and he's Elias. And there's a drought in the land. God's punishing the people of Israel by making it not rain. And during this terrible drought, God sends Elias the prophet up north to Lebanon, not Lebanon, Ohio, but Lebanon in the Holy Land, in a place called Sidonia. And there, we had the story already during Lent, the widow woman from Sarepta, she's a pagan, is taking care of Elias the prophet for God. Well, everything's going well for a while, and then her son dies, and she gets very upset with the prophet, and she tells him and God exactly what she thinks, and she says, have you come to me to punish me for my sins? She admits that she's a sinner. And Elias then takes the dead boy, his body, and he prays over him 3 times. And he tells God, dear Lord, I'm managing to survive just barely with this poor old pagan woman. Now, why are you making it so hard on her? Well, he's telling our Lord exactly what he thinks in prayer, but he knows our Lord could work a miracle because he's God. And the boy rises from the dead. And the woman, the pagan lady, the mother, is ever so pleased, and that's the end of the story. Not too long story. The gospel gives us a long story about Lazarus. Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. It was at his house that he would like to go with his apostles because he could trust them. They trusted him and he trusted them. He knew that they were his friends and they weren't going to use anything he said against him. And Martha, that's Lazarus's sister, St. Martha, she cooked delicious meals for our Lord and the apostles, and they could rest a little bit and feel at home in their house. So one time, Lazarus gets sick. And they start sending messages, little text messages probably, off to our Lord, who's with his apostles someplace else. And they say, Lord, Lazarus is sick. And then they say another message, Lord, this is Mary and Martha, his sisters, Lord, Lazarus is not getting any better, he's sicker. And then finally, they send the last message, Lazarus has died, come for the funeral. And they're very, very sad. Well, our Lord knows what he's doing because he's God. We have to trust him at all times, but he doesn't have to explain to us what he's doing. That's the hard part for us. So, they're on their way to Bethany to see about Lazarus, who's already been buried, because the Jews buried people right away. And Thomas the Apostle, who's another one who always says exactly what he thinks, says to the other apostles, he says, let's go and die with our Lord. He wanted to be a martyr with Christ. Well, that wouldn't be his problem. He was very generous, but he couldn't believe after Easter that our Lord rose from the dead. But our Lord showed him the truth of his resurrection. So they get there, and St. Martha hears our Lord's near their town, and she goes out to meet him. And she and then her sister Mary Magdalene, they say exactly the same thing. They say, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And the Jews, they're outside, and they're saying, well, wouldn't you think he healed others? Why couldn't he heal Lazarus? Why did he let him die? Because people don't understand, and they don't have to, the ways of God. But that doesn't stop people from complaining. But as I say, everybody's saying exactly what they think. Never mind, God's going to do something very great. So our Lord goes to the tomb, and he sees their mutual friends and some of the people that he got to know at Lazarus's house, I imagine. And everybody is weeping and very sad. And that makes our Lord sad, because he's a man too. He has a human nature. And our Lord groans, not once, but two times, and he starts weeping, and he goes to the tomb. And now he acts not as a man, but as God. And he says, open up the tomb. Martha, who always says exactly what she thinks, and she's a very practical woman, says, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. There's a horrible smell in there, I think, because dead bodies, of course, have a terrible odor. And our Lord says, never mind, do what you're told. Open the tomb and then unwrap him, because they wrapped up the dead like mummies a little bit in their burial shroud. Well, they obey our Lord because he's our Lord. They have to do what God says, as do you and I. And then he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out and he's alive. He's not dead. It's a miracle. God worked a miracle to show the Jews that as he raised Lazarus from the dead, so too his Father in heaven would raise him from the dead on the third day on Easter Sunday morning. So the moral of the story for us today is, come what may, you trust our Lord. You can complain, you can cry, you can object. You can say exactly what you want to say to our Lord. As long as you trust him and love him and have confidence in him, everything will work out just fine. But remember, our Lord has to be able to trust you. He trusts himself to you when he comes to you today in Holy Communion. Just as our Lord knew he could trust Lazarus and could relax in his house under his roof, so too our Lord wants to trust you and be at home under your roof and in your soul. That's part of making reparation, that we trust Jesus and Jesus trusts us, and that he should feel right at home with us in our soul, and we should feel right at home with him in this beautiful church under his roof. And that's the way we could make reparation today, I was thinking. We could trust God, and we could make up that way for all of those, even pretty good people sometimes, who don't trust our Lord. Let's say all day long today this little indulgenced prayer in reparation. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in thee. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and